On today's episode, we are going to talk about how travel has been able to help me with personal development, cutting out the noise, and how travel provides cultural balance.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Brian Helfman. He is the co-founder of Startup Island. Startup Island is a shared travel experience for the entrepreneurial-minded. Brian, how's your day going?
It's going great so far. How about you, Jonathan?
I can't complain. We're about the end of the day. I'm happy to end it with you. Before we get into the heavy-hitting, hard questions, we have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time, and that's with an icebreaker. And I'm curious to hear your answer because you are a world traveler and you do a lot of awesome stuff and a ton of cool experiences. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
Wow. So I guess it starts with where I'm at in the world, because where I'm going to eat obviously depends what city I'm in. But keeping it simple and saying that it's the best day I've had recently in New York, New York City, where I'm at now, I'm probably going to Bond Street Sushi and splurging a little bit on myself and getting their crispy rice, which is one of my favorite things that I've – sushi is one of my favorite foods, and that's one of my favorite dishes. So probably that, you know, thinking about where I would go from here. They should be paying me for that type of testimonial.
Anything that you would I'm curious, just because of you being a world traveler, any type of thought that comes into mind when asked that question about like your out overseas experiences?
Absolutely. I mean, I say that because it's easy, you know. If you give me a minute to think, like there's this place actually in Costa Rica off the side of the road on the way from Liberia Airport to like the Tamarindo area that is absolutely incredible. I forget the name of it, but I know exactly where it is. I could get there with my eyes closed, and they have some amazing chicken cordon bleu, which I think is a French dish, but it's very popular in Costa Rica and is absolutely incredible at this little roadside, you know, locally owned organic hut that I always stop at after I land in Liberia Airport down there. So that's definitely up there. And obviously these days I spend a lot of time in Costa Rica, so I'm always looking for new spots that I haven't tried before throughout the country to, you know, sample different cuisines because it is so diverse.
Very cool. Well, good stuff. So that was the easy part. Now we get to the hard part. So now I need to ask you, who are you and what is your story? Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Sure. So again, my name is Brian Helfman, co-founder at Startup Island. And my path leading up to Startup Island was a winding road, to say the least. I grew up in Syosset, Long Island. Always was entrepreneurial minded, but growing up didn't really consider myself an entrepreneur, mainly because I think the term didn't really enter the public lexicon the way it has over the last 5-10 years. And so growing up, you know, I did things like shoveling driveways through the winter and some other side hustles while working a job, starting at age 14 at a place called Syosset Self Storage. A lot of good times there. But after that, I went to the University of Michigan, where I majored in finance and marketing. And again, was very entrepreneurial minded, but kind of felt constricted to the path set out by my parents and professors and the university at large. it was very finance driven. So early on, I thought I wanted to, work in an investment bank, and money was a big motivator for me. But over the years, through an internship at Morgan Stanley, and then an internship at a sports agency, I started to really learn that money for me wasn't something that was as motivating as impact. So again, it took a while to fully realize that, which ultimately led to me creating Startup Island. But through those experiences, and then actually my first formal experience as an entrepreneur, when I started a venue search engine called Tabs, where I started that business really with the mindset that I would grow this company as big as possible. You know, I saw a problem and had a passion for the problem I was solving. But the goal with that business was largely to get acquired or, you know, raise a certain amount of money, get a certain with that ego-driven, financially motivated mindset that I have in recent years sort of moved away from. So long story short, during the summer of 2015, I was building that first business, had a team of 6 people working full-time, plus about 15 interns running around New York City. We were in the middle of a fundraising round. We had, you know, thousands of users throughout the New York area, starting to plan our expansion to other cities throughout the Northeast. But I just really didn't enjoy the life I was living, and which was hard to admit to myself at the time, because this was a life that I had sort of set up for myself over many years. But it was really fast paced, long hours, late hours, which at one point I really loved and you know, was excited about, but it just got to a point where I knew I wasn't living my passion and what I was really put on this earth to do. So around the same time, I started talking to a childhood friend of mine named Josh, who's my current co-founder, about the initial idea for Startup Island. And the more we talked about it, the more passionate I became about this concept of combining a travel experience with a personal development immersive. I think as an entrepreneur, and something that I realize and I know a lot of my peers coming up felt as well, was that it can be a very isolating and lonely lifestyle, oftentimes like it's you against the world. So we wanted to create a community and a support system for entrepreneurial minded young people to help them be better positioned for success. And on the same note, I always felt the power of the travel experiences I had mainly as a source of personal development. But I think that the personal development that came from those travel experiences was very entrepreneurial in nature. So openness to new experiences, taking risks, and gaining perspective on the world at large and my place in it. So in thinking about all this, we started to fine-tune the business model and what exactly a Startup Island trip might look like. So all this kind of conceptualized from summer 2015 to October 2015. And in October, we decided to start marketing the trip as an alternative spring break for college students. Mainly because of timing, we thought we could put together a trip that would happen in March. Which looking back was pretty naive of us. But somehow we put it together. Again, long story short, we had a great group that first trip, 16 students, took them down to Costa Rica, put a curriculum together. And somehow everyone came away saying that they had the best week of their lives. So from there, it went from an idea for a travel experience to a real business. And after that first trip, my co-founder and I have done everything we can to make it our full-time focus, to the point where now we've had 7 trips, 107 travelers, and this coming March are doing our biggest spring break program yet, 4 weeks in a row for a total of 80 students. So that's kind of how we got to where we are today.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, I'm curious to hear, with all these stories and these trials and tribulations of success and failure and everything of that nature, I'd like to hear a little bit more about how you're currently growing the company. One of the hardest things to do in business is to achieve your first 100 customers. So how are you able to achieve your first 100 customers, and what can we learn and take with us today after we hear your wisdom?
Yeah, 100% right. Getting those first 100 customers can be very difficult, especially, you know, for us, each customer is investing a considerable amount of time and money in our program to become a customer and really a member of our community. And that community piece, I think, is the biggest piece of advice I can give. When you have, especially when you have a high ticket price item, whether it's a travel experience in Costa Rica or, you know, a piece of hardware or anything, when it's a high level decision, a purchasing decision for your customer, at least in my experience, there needs to be a heartfelt brand identity that your customers can really resonate with. So for us, we early on focused on really meaningful relationships with strategic partners. We didn't do much with Facebook ads or Google AdWords. We didn't do much paid advertising at all. It was a lot of hustle and it was a lot of FaceTime with those initial advocates who would ultimately help us spread the word. So in October 2015, when we decided to put together that first trip, we said, all right, let's compile a list of as many entrepreneurial student organizations we can throughout the country and email the president of every single organization. So we did that. We got in touch with a few, and one in particular named Ben Bungert, who was the president of the Entrepreneurship Club at Northeastern. And safe to say that we wouldn't be in business if it wasn't for him. Hmm. He was the one out of all those people we emailed who really vibes with what we were doing. And so through several conversations with him, we were able to sort of spread the word throughout Northeastern and then some of the other Boston schools and other schools that he had relationships with, you know, his contemporaries at the e-clubs at different universities. So over the years, we've really stayed true to that. We've really stayed true to the communal aspect of our program and really providing an amazing experience that our travelers want to go home and talk about. Personally, I think the best form of marketing is creating an amazing product. Mm. Because if you create an amazing product, your customers become your biggest advocates and market on your behalf. So our goal is to not only provide the best week of their lives to all of our travelers, but really help them during and after the trip accomplish whatever success means to them. So we take the time to really figure out what success means to them, and then the trip is just the beginning. So all 107 people who have been on our trips, we're still in touch with them. We're still, you know, in relatively constant communication to make sure that they're held accountable to their own goals and really, you know, taking steps towards their own success. And through that, I think they want to help us. They want to help us spread the word and share this experience with their friends. So for us, the experience is, you know, a little different than, you know, for another entrepreneur who might be selling something that's, you know, not a trip to Costa Rica or not a life-changing experience, but I think that advice still holds, that if you can create a product that really adds value to your customer, then they'll want to help you spread the word. So if you can find those initial advocates, those early adopters, and really incentivize them to help market the product through just creating an amazing product, I think that's the best way to be successful.
You mentioned that you reached out to a couple of presidents of clubs and things like that, and the one in particular worked really well. Sometimes it only takes just one really good contact in order to make it all happen. When you reached out to these people, were you using any kind of scripts? Were you using any kind of like template or anything like that? Or was it just like a genuine, hey, here I am, here's my hand, come shake it if you want, and if you don't, that's cool too.
Yeah, I would say closest to the latter. We really wanted to come off genuine and open and honest about the fact that we were just starting out. And obviously we tweaked the messaging over time depending on the response we got. So in the beginning, we crafted a message that we felt would resonate with people and was very open and honest and genuine, and kind of told the story of why we were doing what we were doing. And that really resonated with people. And over the last 2 years, obviously that message has evolved a lot over time. But that openness and honest, you know, the genuineness, our outreach and our messaging is something that we have stayed true to, and I think we'll always want to maintain in our messaging.
That's cool. I'm curious, is there anyone in particular that you would like to meet in order to further your business? And if so, who would it be and why?
It's hard to say one person in particular. One big initiative that we've been working on this fall, we've been trying to get in touch with more faculty and administrators at schools in entrepreneurship programs, and we've been pretty successful with that. So it's been very helpful getting support from people who control the money and can potentially provide funding for our students to come on our trips. And it's been great to get validation from those types of people, the academics who have been practicing and teaching entrepreneurship for years, to show that, you know, they really see the value in what we're doing as well. But if there was one person, oh man, maybe we'll have to circle back on that one.
That's cool. Take your time.
I'll think about it, and I'll have an answer for you before the end of the call.
All right. Sounds good, man. So when it comes to personal aspects, I do think that habits are very important for an entrepreneur, especially one who may travel a lot. So what are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
That's a great question. Especially for me recently, the last 8 months, I haven't been in one city for more than a week. So having a routine is important, but having flexibility in that routine, especially if you're traveling constantly, is vital. So every day I wake up and do at least 5 minutes of my own self-guided yoga and meditation. So that's something I got into more or less about 5 years ago, but my practice has really evolved, especially recently, to the point where I actually got my yoga teacher certification last summer. And now, like that, I say at least 5 minutes because it's so easy to do 5 minutes. Like, I could do that anywhere, whether I'm home or in an Airbnb in a random college town, or I'm in Costa Rica. And it could be anywhere from 5 minutes to 90 minutes, depending on the day, where I am. But that is, for the most part, always what I do first thing when I wake up, after brushing my teeth. So, and that for me is just a great way to stay grounded and give myself a chance to be really present. And, you know, before getting into the day's to-do list, I think that's really important. But on the subject of a to-do list, I think for me, I'm a very maybe borderline OCD when it comes to organization. So I have like to-do lists on to-do lists on to-do lists, but every night before I go to sleep, I write down my top three goals for the next day. So again, when I wake up and I go into my yoga or meditation, I already know what I'm going to be doing that day. So that time to myself is totally focused on myself. It's not focused on my to-do list because that's already taken care of. And I think that is really important because if you wake up and the first thought in your head is, what am I doing today? You're already behind. You're already, you know, susceptible to things getting in your way and, you know, an email that you have to respond to or a fire you have to put out, which always comes up. So having that to-do list, but again, being flexible with sort of how long your morning routine lasts and being flexible with certain goals that may be more important than others, I think is really important because as an entrepreneur, like no day is 100% predictable. So you have to be able to adapt to things that come up.
Yeah. Are there any resources that you use that you just can't live without? Maybe like an app or whatever it may be?
So I used to use Headspace for meditation, which is a great app for meditation. But now I because of my training, I prefer to self-guide. And then I'm just a like Google Docs. Like if you saw my Google Docs, you would be either blown away or a little disturbed. It's again like super organized, and I've used stuff like Trello and HubSpot and Hootsuite to manage social media, but in the end, I think Google Docs for me is what works best because between Gmail and Docs, it's all in the same place, and I've gotten pretty good at just organizing everything through that. So I try to keep it simple. Yeah. I have very few apps on my phone, no social media apps, very like minimalistic, and try to really, especially on my phone, like no distractions, just what I need.
Yeah, that's good. I wish I can get there, my friend. Show me your ways. Before I ask the final question, do you have an answer to the to anyone who would you like to meet?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, there are so many people, but Richard Branson is always one that comes to mind first because, you know, obviously his success as an entrepreneur. But also his passion for travel. I think people who really see the value in travel and personal growth and balance, who he seems like he does, would be really cool to have a conversation with him on Necker Island, and really just hear more about his journey, because from everything I've seen and read of his, he really just seems like a very genuine, very open and cool guy. So I guess that would be my one.
Very cool. Well, if you get to meet him, just put in the good word.
You're invited.
All right, cool. I too would love to meet that guy. He seems like an amazing, amazing dude. And the amount of things that he's been able to accomplish that still maintain that balance. Yeah. It says a lot, because I feel like a lot of millennials nowadays are very just like 9 to 12, yeah. 12 p.m., 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., excuse me, 9 a.m. to 12 a.m.
Yeah, we got it.
But yeah, so my final question to you is, the Blind Entrepreneur, this podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business. They cannot see the obvious. So to the individuals that are blind, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
Yeah, great question. So number one, I think is, and this is so, so cliche, but you know, everyone says find your passion, right? And that's really easy to say, much harder to do. So I guess in sort of providing my three pieces of advice, they're all going to be linked together. So number one, find your passion, which I admit is very difficult. It took me years. So number two is self-awareness. Because the way that you really find and truly manifest what you're passionate about is through really learning about yourself and getting in touch with yourself on a very intimate level. It's very easy to become a cog in the machine and sort of just go down the path that's been laid out for you by your parents, by your teachers, by society. But those who are able to find their passion are the ones who really get in touch with themselves and can block out the noise and really understand the things that motivate them and the things that they truly care about. So ways of going about doing that. Number one, again, travel. I think when you get out of your comfort zone, get out of your routine, you can really get back in touch with yourself. And especially if you can get to, you know, nature, a beach, a mountain, the woods, a lake, you know, out of a city, out of that like day-to-day grind, I think that's when, you know, you really learn about yourself because there are no distractions and you can really prioritize what's important to you. And for me, that's always been back from an experience like that. It's, you know, always heightens my self-awareness and that's an endless process. So with that, the third piece of advice is patience because again, I know a lot of young entrepreneurs and I work with student entrepreneurs every single day. And the biggest obstacle, the biggest fear that I hear is that they're already too far behind. What's the point of even, you know, pursuing an entrepreneurial path? And I think with today's, you know, social media obsessed, you know, it's all about likes, followers, immediate gratification, that notification that's going to, you know, send an endorphin boost because someone liked your latest post or someone commented on your latest post. I think it's very detrimental to genuine personal growth, which only comes with patience. And finding your passion isn't a process that happens overnight. You know, it's not as simple as just sitting back and thinking, well, what am I passionate about? It takes time. So you have to take action every day. You have to, you know, move fast, but at the same time, be patient with yourself to give yourself the necessary time to figure it out and reach the point where you're living the life that you desire, because it takes years. There's no such thing as an overnight success. Despite what you might see in the media or on social media. And the only way to get there is to start now, but you won't be there tomorrow. It's going to take time. So patience is, I think, the most important thing, the most important quality that a young entrepreneur can develop. So to sum it up, passion first, self-awareness and patience.
Good stuff. Well, Brian, congratulations to you, sir. You have successfully completed the podcast. So the next 30 seconds is all yours. Go right ahead and tell everybody how they can learn more about you, how they could be a part of your journey and potentially become a customer, maybe go on a trip, who knows?
Yeah. So again, I've made it my business over the last 2 years to help aspiring entrepreneurs. So the number one way that I do that is through Startup Island Travel Experiences, which you can learn more about at joinstartupisland.com. We have our flagship program, Alternative Spring Break, coming up this March, and then we do weekend trips throughout the year. But again, for anyone who needs help building an idea or just someone to bounce ideas off of and provide some support, I'm definitely happy to talk. And you can find my contact information on the Startup Island website, but it's Brian at joinstartupisland.com.
Very cool. Well, good stuff. Thank you guys that are still watching and listening for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, and everything you've heard today will be on theblindentrepreneur.com. Check that out for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary, and I hope that after listening to the wisdom of Brian, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day. Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.